Thank you, Pastor Todd and Andy and all of you for welcoming us and being so kind. We love the times that we get to spend with you. I'm going to jump right into it because Rich gave such a great introduction and prayer. One thing he mentioned in the prayer was spirit and in truth. That's important. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth, right? How many people know that the enemy's way for us to worship him is in the flesh and in lies, right? So we have a mandate. We have a mandate to be in the spirit and walk in truth, okay? I'm going to ask some people to help me out here. This seems to work well in the flow when I get opportunities to share with people. And everything I'm going to share with you today is not so much a teaching from a place of walking in this, but it's where the Heavenly Father is challenging me right now to lead my family, okay? So everything I'm saying to you, I'm saying to myself for the second or third time because I still have to get it, okay? Because even though I want to walk in spirit and in truth, the enemy's trying to get me to walk in the flesh and in lies. So I'm saying this to myself, so I'm edifying myself today in front of all of you. And you just happen to be along for the ride. I need some volunteers. I have a handful of scriptures that when I get to them and I shout them out, I'd like for somebody to just read whatever scripture they have. If you guys would like to do that with me, that would be a blessing. I need someone for Romans 8:13. Okay. Galatians 5:24. Okay. Carrie. Romans 6:13. You, sir. Romans 7:5. Go ahead, Grace. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Okay. Pastor Todd. Romans 1:24. Okay. Romans 1:26. Go ahead, Creed. John 8:44. Okay. And last one is Luke 12:15. Okay, thank you. The main passage I'm going to read from today is Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1 and go through to verse 15. And if I would title this, and I'm going to say this in humility, but just consider it, this is the way the Father spoke it to me. The way I would title this message is, learn how to be a killer and change your clothes, okay? So how many people here are like interested now? Like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be a killer? Yeah. I'm going to tell you quite boldly that part of our calling in life are to be killers and snipers, okay? And I'm going to show you where that is. So in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, if you then being risen with Christ, who's the you?
Us,
okay? If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The challenge that, in this day of chaos that's around us right now, you know, everything seems chaotic. There's things that we're seeing right now where we would have never thought we would have seen them, heard them. They're blatant. They're in our face. They're not even trying to be covert anymore. They're there. During this time, we are called to seek the things which are above, not the things of the earth. Okay, we're tempted to focus on the things of this earth, and to a point it's important, because we live in the earth. We still got flesh. I'm attached to this earth through my body, so I have to pay attention to some things. But the reality of who I am and where I'm going are caught up in the things above, not the things of this earth, right? Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Okay? So the challenge that the Father's knocking on my heart is, Troy, how much of your life is focusing on the things of this earth and not having affection? That's a key word. That's a strong word. Place your affections on the things above. We're supposed to have our affections on where the Father sits on his throne and what's coming there. How many know the scriptures that talk about the earth being his footstool, right? Well, what is a footstool for? Putting your feet on it, right? Who's putting his feet on the footstool? Our Father, right? How does he put his feet on the footstool? Through who? Through us, right? And how many know that the same rules, regulations, and Spirit-led power that God promotes from his throne, how many of us know that that's what he desires from his footstool? Do you think he wants things going on differently on his footstool than what's going on his throne? Mm-mm. But it's his legs that connect the two, connect the throne to the footstool. And we're the body of Messiah, and we're called to set our affections on the things that are above so that we can make decisions based upon those affections on the footstool. Is everyone following me? Right now, the world is telling us, no, we can't do that. The world's telling us a whole bunch of things. And I'm going to show you how the things that are behind what the world's trying to show us are from the earth, okay? And here's where we get to be killers and snipers. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That word mortify comes from a Greek word that literally means to kill, to make dead, okay? So we're being told here, kill off your members which are upon the earth. Now, don't look at each other because that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the fleshly nature that we walk in, okay? And we're going to list those right now. But before we list those, let's get some support with the idea that we're called to be killers of the members which are upon the earth. Can someone read off the Romans 8:13? Okay, so if we're living according to the Spirit, we're to mortify the deeds of the body, right? Okay? We live in a culture, and again, I'm not ripping America because America is the best place for living in freedom on this planet. If you go to other countries, even as bad as we think we have it right now, it's still pretty good compared to a lot of other places. We heard that last week. There was a Jewish man here, and he told us, like, even where he's from, the restrictions are way worse than what the restrictions are here that we have to deal with. So we still, you know, there's still people that want to come to this country. There's still people crossing the Rio Grande going north, you know, not south. So we have something to be thankful for. But we're called to mortify or kill off those things that are against the Spirit of truth, okay? How many of you, when you got saved, immediately went into becoming a spiritual being only? And you lost all of your flesh or your connection with this earth. None of us did. We got a down deposit, in a sense, of things that are going to come, right? But there's a scripture that says that when he comes again, we will see him as he is, okay? Now, if you look back to the Old Testament, when Moses went up and he was in the presence of the Father, when he came back down from the mountain, how many people could look at him? Nobody. But yet, it says we're going to see Jesus as he is when he comes back. So what does that mean for us? Is our flesh right now able to see him as he is? So that means that we have to be changed, right? We have to put on the incorruptible. We have to be changed in a moment to be able to even do that, right? Until that time, we have these deeds of the flesh that we have to kill off, okay? We're actually called to be snipers and killers of the flesh, of the things of the flesh. Now, not in our own strength. You're not going to get up every day and be like, oh, I got to kill off this temptation today, and I got to, you know, if you're not in humility going to the Father and you do it in your own strength, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to work, okay? So I'm not saying do this on your own in your own strength. We don't want to do anything in our own strength. Can someone read Galatians chapter 5, verse 24? Okay, there you go. So, you know, I guess I had this misconception. I might have heard these scriptures before, but I always thought that the work of Christ in me was something that where I just was a bystander. Okay, he was going to clean house and get me right. And I just had to be available. But here it's saying that we have an active participation in killing off these things. Okay? Now, let's identify the members a little bit more clearly. Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 13.
But present yourselves to God as being alive and dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God.
So we have a responsibility to present righteous members, not unrighteous members. Okay. Can someone read Romans 7, 5?
For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death.
Okay. So the sinful parts of us, and there's another passage in the scripture that says, he who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth isn't in him. We all still have this flesh. We all still struggle with thoughts, temptations. We can all admit that, okay? Those things don't overwhelm us and put us into shame. But our connection by placing our affection on the things above should make us want to mortify or kill these affections off, okay? And be intentional about it, okay? So let's identify the five enemies that we need to kill off. And I'm reading right now from verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Here's villain number one, fornication. Okay, the Greek word is porneia. Anybody recognize that word? It covers a wider range of things which I won't get graphic or go into detail about. But one of the things I'm convinced of, and I'm speaking to you men primarily, is that this is probably the number one issue with most men in America and a lot of people within the church, okay? How many of you have ever seen, heard of, or associated with somebody who has gone to a meeting and confessed drug abuse or alcoholism or something like that, okay? Some people even wear it as a badge of honor. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic, whatever. And then everybody encourages that person. How many of you ever been to a meeting where somebody comes in and says, I've been addicted to porn and lust, okay? Some of us have, but more likely than not, that one is the one that doesn't get confessed because that's the one that usually makes you more aware of the crickets in the building than the believers, right? But it's the number one thing affecting men. It's at the top of the list that's listed right here, right? So it has to be something that's pretty common, and I think we need to treat it as a common enemy and not treat it as the elephant in the room that we keep avoiding. I think we need to get real with our families, with our spouses, with our children, our sons that are of age that could be going through this. We need to prepare them, right? Because we live in a world that uses this as a tool. The enemy uses this as a tool. I don't want to dive too much into that because I don't have the time, but there's a reason why it's number one on the list that's listed here, okay? Can someone read 1 Corinthians 7:2? So that one's important, which Pastor Todd just read, because that scripture defines the appropriate way. Notice it said a husband and a wife. Anything beyond that, you fill in the blank, goes into the fornication. Okay? So again, I'm not going to get into that, but it's pretty cut and dry right there. He describes what appropriate is so that we all know what inappropriate is. Let's read that. So the first enemy, fornication. And if you, and I'm reading from the King James because I like to go back to the original word. So if you see a different word in your Bible, then use the word that you have, as long as it's getting the same idea across that this is what the enemy is. The second enemy that we have to kill, okay, that we have to kill off and mortify or make dead is listed as uncleanness. Can somebody read Romans chapter 1, verse 24? Okay, so this uncleanness is anything that's not clean, anything that's not acceptable in God's eyes, okay? We could list a number of examples. We could go to Sodom and Gomorrah. We could go to Genesis chapter 6, which is referenced in the book of Jude. And while, just a little side note, if you really want to see a lot of these things encapsulated in a different way and also find Old Testament references to what Jude is talking about in the book of Jude, go there and look at the six references to the Old Testament about what to avoid. You know, you don't want to go in the way of Cain. You don't want to go in the way of Balaam. You don't want to go in the way of the gainsaying of Kor. We don't want to be like the angels in the beginning that left their first abode. We don't want to be like unbelieving Israel that died in the wilderness. Okay? All these examples are there, and they all have to do with what we're talking about right now. So I would encourage you to read the book of Jude and also the mirror image of that in the writings of Peter. He mirrors those things. But uncleanness is another enemy that we need to kill off. Okay, we move down to the next one, the third one, which the King James lists as inordinate affection. Okay, can someone read Romans 1:26?
For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their woman exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature.
Okay, it's interesting how these first three all have some similarities. Okay, so there must be something, you know. He's isolating these things and saying you need to have affections on things above, because if you don't put your affections on things above and your focus is on the things of the earth, here's the manifestations of the flesh that you're going to have to deal with, and you need to kill them off. Okay. The fourth one, King James uses a word that I've never used my entire life except when I quote this verse: evil concupiscence. Okay, so there's a word for you. So the next time you see somebody, next time you high five your brother, say, "Hey, let's fight this evil concupiscence." Let's get a better idea of what that is. Can someone read John 8:44? John 8:44. Does anybody have that one? Yes. It's about the devil being a liar. Whoever can get there first wins.
You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
Okay, so the word liar is used a bunch there, but the word that translates in Colossians as evil concupiscence is the word desire. And specifically, it's an evil desire. Okay, it's anything that's not in righteousness. It could be, you know, how many of you know that when you've read your Bible, you never see the word annoy? It never says the word annoy. Don't be annoyed at your brother. You know why? Because the Bible labels that as something more concrete, like anger or hatred, right? Evil concupiscence or evil desire. The reason why the Bible, we create extra words so that we can water down wickedness. So we'll say, yeah, I'm annoyed at that guy. Well, maybe you're walking in hatred towards him. Maybe we should use what the scriptures say, right? And define things. So far we got fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire. We'll say that since concupiscence is a strange word. And then the last enemy we're to kill off is covetousness. Okay? Luke 12:15. Okay, so covetousness is desiring things that God hasn't given you and that you don't need to pay attention to. And you're actually creating a form of idolatry. And really, all of these things, these enemies that we're to kill off, can be summed up as idolatry. So let me keep reading here. We go down to verse 6. For these things that we just mentioned, these enemies, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Who do you think the children of disobedience are? You don't have to answer. I'm just wanting you to think. Okay, children of disobedience. It could be children. It could. I'm just saying this out loud. It could be children that don't do what their father wants them to do. They're called children. Okay. They're not called Gentiles or unbelievers here. They're called children of disobedience. Okay? Just think on that. Verse 7, in which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now, and here's where we get to the changing of clothes. So we just had a mandate to kill these things. We're to be snipers and take these things out, because these things are taking us from our affections, which are supposed to be on things above, eternal things, and we're now focusing on temperate things, but temporal things, but things of this earth. And here's where we start taking off the filthy rags, and this is also our responsibility. But now you also put off all of these. King James says anger. It's the word orge, which means passion. So I'm just going to rattle these off real quick. Here's the old man clothes that we're supposed to take off intentionally. passion, wrath, or fierce anger, malice, which would be better translated as wicked thoughts or depravity, blasphemy, filthy communication, okay, vile conversation. And then at the end of that verse, it says, put these things out of your mouth. So the clothing of the old man, all these are specifically focusing on the mouth. Remember that, because when you see what the new man is from, it's a different source, the new clothing. Okay. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The image that he's speaking of is the image of the second Adam, that's Jesus Christ. Okay. The first man was the old man. He went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. That's the tree of idolatry. And the way I spoke to some people before, if you take the word idolatry and instead of the last three letters being T-R-Y, spell them as T-R-E-E, that's the tree that the man and woman ate from in the beginning. Okay. They turned to the things of this earth because Satan is the ruler of this world. So everything that he entices you with is from this world. Okay. And one of the things he's trying to do, and if you look at the nation of Israel, it's very clear. The nation of Israel, every time they were involved in a captivity or an occupation, the persecution that came against them was always involving false worship. They were always pressured into false worship. And if they denied that, they were persecuted. Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar sets up his image, right? And then we have a handful that say, no, we're not doing that. Fast forward to Darius, the Medes and the Persians. Darius, who seems to be a decent guy, is tricked by his advisors into saying, everybody's going to pray to me. Uh-oh, I forgot about my friend Daniel, right? So we see how false worship is attached to that. Then we go, in our normal Bibles, we skip to the Roman occupation, but I feel like there's a Greek occupation in there. A lot of Jewish people celebrated Hanukkah recently. I will tell you, without going into depth, if you didn't have the Maccabean revolt, you wouldn't have had a Jew around to give birth to Yeshua the Messiah. To Jesus. So the Maccabean revolt is important if you ever want to look up that. But basically, when the Greeks occupied Israel, what did they try to do? Change their form of worship. Then the Romans come in, and them changing the form of worship for the nation of Israel is a little bit different. It's not as much about idolatry as it's about saying our government's better than what you believe. And as long as you don't stir the pot and your religion doesn't defy our government, then you're okay. But that's another form of false worship, right? And some of that's starting to happen. Right. So always remember that. Persecution is always an attempt by Satan trying to get worship from people. And he'll do it through idolatry, government, any way that he can. He doesn't even care if you recognize you're worshiping him. He'll take the worship even if he can dupe you into thinking you're doing something different. Okay? So anyway, let me finish up here by talking about the clothing we put on as the new man. So we kill off the enemy... We rip off the filthy rags and the clothes of the deeds of our flesh, the old man. And then in verse 12, this is what we're supposed to do. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels. It's a Greek word where we get the word spleen from. So this is from the inside. This is something that's coming from the inside, these new clothes. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Another word to say humbleness of mind is anti-pride. Meekness, long-suffering. Okay, it's summed up in verse 14. And above all these things, put on love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So I just want to sum up everything by saying, this is our challenge today. Are we going to focus on what we hear on the media? Are we going to focus on the negativity that's surrounding us? Are we going to focus on the chaos? Or are we going to set our affections on things above, get our marching orders as snipers to pick off all these enemies that are trying to gain our affection? Make sure we're not keeping the filthy rags of the old man and put on the clothing of the new man, right? Are we going to allow ourselves to get sucked in to the false worship that the enemy through the institutions of this world is trying to put on us? If we don't have our hearts and affections on the things above, then we could be victims and casualties in this thing. We have to. If nothing else comes out of this message, go back to the first thing I said. Set your affection on things above and not the things of this earth. Okay? So let me just pray for you and then I'll turn that over to whatever you want to do, Rich. So Father, I just thank you for for your people. I thank you, Father, that your way of placing your feet on the footstool is through us. We're your body. So help us to spread the gospel of peace, which is peace with you first and foremost. We can't have peace with you if we're against you, or if we're going back to the old nature and the old mindset. So I pray right now, Father, that just like you're challenging me, I pray that you challenge all of us. We should day by day be challenged, because we've never arrived until we're glorified and can see you as you are. So until that day, challenge us. Show us the enemies that we need to pick off, the enemies that try to sneak in and form mindsets in our families, in our communities, in our relationships. Show us how we need to peel off these filthy rags that we're not supposed to be wearing and put on the new man day by day. Help us to walk in the spirit of repentance and not stay in a shameful place and an unrighteous sorrow, but help us to have a righteous sorrow that leads to repentance, where we stop catering to the false worship that's trying to be crammed down our throats by the enemy, and we stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to be God's righteous sniper today and start taking some of these things out. So we just bless you today. We thank you for this time. I speak and pray your blessing over this congregation, that you would encourage them in these days, that you would even encourage them to do exploits on your behalf, Father, that you would rise up in them and where they would realize time is very important. Time is either going to be a curse or a blessing on how I use it. And I pray that they would accept the redemption of time as part of their mandate, that they would redeem the time and do the things that you've called them to do. And if they've been putting things off, Father, because of fear, remove the unrighteous fear and establish a fear of the Lord, which leads to wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Give them wisdom from the place of having a fear of the Lord and a reverence towards you. So we just bless you and you thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Troy.
With that, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he protect you from the evil one and cause you to walk faithfully with him so that you can have life and have it to the full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.